Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
It is 4 minutes past four. Max in for Paul today. Andy.
Well, it's not 4 minutes past four when people are listening to
it. No, I'm just letting people realise that we've just come off air in the post-show buzz. That's where we are right now. Wherever you are, whatever time it is, I'm sure you're having a lovely time. Andy, you've just come off air, right? This is like when Jeff Shreves puts the microphone in your face. How do you feel today went?
I thought it went pretty well. I enjoyed it. I very much enjoyed Max Whitlock.
He was good.
I enjoyed the idea of you giving away a penny to all of your Twitter followers.
Thanks.
And it took us a bit of... We had a bit of trouble working that out as you're here.
Yes.
But we had a chat.
We had a chat. Yeah, we love to chat.
And that was it, really. Oh, and Ali Ross came in to talk about football in Brazil and Scotland.
Mm.
How similar it is.
Exactly. It's exactly the same. And we hope you enjoy it and have a wonderful day. And we'll be back tomorrow. And two-time Olympic gold medal-winning gymnast Max Whitlock joins us in the studio. It'll be nice to be not even the most famous Max in this airless room to tell us about his new workout book.
Someone who could probably do with a quick flick through the book, Ian Abrahams, is with us to round up the day's managerial press conferences, and we'll speak to Margate FC's captain about their new kit, inspired by their sponsors, the Libertines.
Yes, that might be quite nice to get other bands that should, which team should wear what kit? I should have thought of this before the show, but you know, if the Libertines are doing Margate's kit, who could do other football teams' kits?
Yeah, good question.
Good question, isn't it? The audience are well trained. 8:10:89, you could do that. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy.
You're going to get in the way of Courtney Horse TV.
Don't worry. We'll save the band's shirts one, because we want a full hour of Courtney Horse, don't we?
Horse. Stop calling him Horse. It doesn't work if you call him. That's not
his
name.
Well, I know. Well, Jimmy says, I know it's going to ruin your feature, but I think it's pronounced House rather than Horse.
Not according to the commentator last night. It was Rob Hawthorne.
Okay.
So I'm going on him.
We're going on Rob Hawthorne. Okay. I understand.
Rob Horsethorn.
We're going on Rob Horsethorn's pronunciation of Courtney Horse. And what would you like from the good people listening?
TV formats.
All right.
Do you want some?
I've got some. Yeah.
What have I got? I've got Horse and Kartik.
Good.
That's Courtney learns the art of wicket keeping with the diminutive Indian glove man.
Right. I've got Courtney on Orkney. Courtney Horse, Courtney Walsh and Courtney Kardashian. Put on a desolate part of the Orkney Islands. We see if they can survive.
It's really complicated. I've got Horse Whisperer.
Right.
Courtney hosts the revival of the old grey whistle test.
Okay. That's
one for fans of Bob Harris.
Ground Horse, Charlie Dimmock and Alan Ditchmarsh landscape Courtney Horse's garden.
Ground Horse.
Adding in Aston Villa-based garden features that I haven't thought of yet.
That's good.
Okay.
I'm sure we'll get a few of those.
Horsing About, a prank TV show where Courtney Horse puts Villa legends of yesteryear in serious jeopardy. A laugh as Courtney fools Kevin Gage into thinking he's been in prison for 30 years without parole for a crime he didn't commit.
Marvellous.
Wayne's, it's only fools and horses. Yes, okay, very good.
Well, he's going to give us a bit more than that.
Yeah,
we can't go to the commissioning editor with just the title.
Sometimes that's...
Although some people do.
People don't have attention spans anymore. So, yes, okay. Okay, yes.
What was that you were saying? Sorry. Now, Royal News.
Okay.
Amongst all the other stuff about Harry and Meghan was this that I spotted. Prince Harry will conduct the 2021 Rugby League World Cup draw at Buckingham Palace next week.
Is he doing it with Jim?
As long as he doesn't disappear halfway through it. Canada. He's a big rugby league fan, so he can get a season ticket for Toronto Wolfpack.
Oh, that's a good idea. Listen, are you... I just let them live their own lives, Andy, is how I...
Fine.
How
me too.
Like, yeah.
As long as we don't have to pay for it.
Okay.
All right. I love the way they're sort of their self awareness is fantastic. The way they we're going to move towards being financially interdependent.
Yeah.
No. Okay. Well, we'll all pay for you while you move towards. I'd like to do that. I'd like to retire tomorrow. Move towards financial independence. Could you all fund me?
I'll just say I would like to move away from financial independence. I would quite like all the money that is going to Harry and Meghan. There's a bit of sort of, I wouldn't say mold, but there's a bit of real grime around my shower head. I have some limescale, and I would quite like the money that's currently going to Clarence House or whatever to just redo my bathroom. I think I deserve it.
I think that's fair enough.
Thank you.
Now, I like to pride myself as it's a very, very useless skill, but I'm very good at recognising sort of not that sort of famous celebrities in places.
Okay.
And so I was on the tube, the Jubilee line this morning.
Yeah.
And my wife's a massive fan of Doctors. She loves that show.
Right, okay.
So I spotted Valerie from Doctors. And I actually went up to her. And said to her, do you mind if I, well, I'd say my wife loves your show. And do you mind if we, she won't believe me if I just say I've met you.
Mm.
So can I have a selfie?
How did Valerie react?
Valerie was lovely. Sarah Moyle, her name is. I looked her up. Yeah. Okay.
So, how long have you been doing this show, Andy?
Nearly 20 years. Okay. This is the 20th year.
Do you still feel in the zone? Do you feel totally committed?
Most days, yeah. Okay, I think good. So, yeah.
So, I mean, there's nothing on Milkman Tony Moulds, who has been doing the same milk round for 70 years.
Yes.
Aged 85, he has no plans to retire anytime soon.
You think he'd be bored with it by now, really?
Mm.
People would say that about me.
Starts at 6 o'clock, 6 days a week, drops off 4 pints to 40 households around the village. He began delivering as a 15-year-old boy in 1950. Mm. I mean, I wonder if he's in the red zone, Tony Moulds, don't you? But like,
well,
good for him.
I don't know, really.
Crack on, Tony.
Difficult to say, really. Mm. Where am I? Oh, yes, but this. I've got a thing. I can't stand comparisons in sport.
Right,
and whenever a great moment, like, there'll be a great goal, and was that the greatest goal? Was that the greatest try? Was that better than this goal or better than that try? And then, of course, we've had the same thing with Ben Stokes.
Mm-hmm.
Ben Stokes is wonderful. He's joined the pantheon of the great English all-rounders, Ian Botham and Flintoff. That's what it is. Do you want to compare? Even Matthew Sy did an old piece. Why don't we get a piece from Gio Campari? Just get it over with. Stop comparing. You can't compare them. You just cannot. Different eras, different shapes, different demands, different everything.
It'd be nice, though, on Compare the Market if there was a selection, you know, after comparing phone suppliers and, you know, energy suppliers, if it had best overhead kicks and you had Trevor Sinclair's next to Jahan Bash's and Gareth Bale's. I'd quite like to see that one.
I can't say, every time he comes on Jahan Bash, even though he scored against Chelsea, I just think of that thing that you said about, what's her name?
Lady Bracknell.
Lady Bracknell.
Being a stylist, yes. How do you feel about Adrian Charles Beard?
Oh, I saw this in The Guardian this morning. I like Adrian, but I don't have any...
You don't have any interest? Do you want me to not read
his... Not interest, but I don't have any opinions on his beard.
Okay.
Whether he's got one or not.
Then I'll leave that one alone. I'm happy to be told.
Who would? I admire him for getting a bit of column out of it.
No, it's interesting that he was told by BBC bosses to lose his beard.
Mm.
And I was told by Sky bosses to lose my beard. And and I also said no, and neither of us are on the television anymore. Yeah. So that shows you. Maybe you should just shave your beard.
I've just got a beard, so I'm never going to be on telly anyway, beard or no beard.
Yeah.
Now,
which was the follow-up to Deal or No Deal, and it didn't work quite as well, did it? Because you could see the people, and so you knew if they had a beard or no beard. But Noel Edmonds kept the job because it was right up his alley.
Now, last night's game, Connor Hourihan came on, according to Rob Hawthorne, he's a Hourihan, but we've had Hourihan, Hourihan, and Hourihan.
Okay,
but I think we finally settle now on Hourihan.
Oh, I'm still in the Hourihan.
You're still a Hourihan. Yes. What does Barry say? Because Barry's, you know, he's definitive.
He just says it's Matt Doherty. That's what he tells me. He's stuck on Doherty.
Well, when he's talking about Connor Hourihan.
But he calls Neymar Neymar, and he calls Daleks Daleks. So I'm not sure he's the. I'm not sure.
Connor McNamara is an excellent commentator.
I've
noticed that on Match of the Day, he calls VOR.
Hmm.
Yeah, because that's the Irish pronunciation.
It is,
so it does sound like VOR.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Interesting story this. You may have seen Malky Mackay has discovered that Brazil has the same issues finding young footballers as Scotland when he recently spoke to some of their top coaches. They're coming up against the same challenges as we are, which surprised me. We're talking about the dearth of street football. Certainly happened in Scotland, dearth of dribblers and street footballers. My perception, he says, was street football was going on everywhere in Brazil. They all wanted to play, but it's happening there as well. To review this, Ali Ross, the Sun's TV critic. Ali, how are you doing?
Max, very well, thanks.
Nice to see you.
Nice to see you as well.
So, I mean, it's good to know that the Brazilians are suffering equally.
Well, someone had to say it, didn't they? It's been staring us in the face for so long. Thank you, Malky, for clarifying that.
Do you think they'll not qualify for a tournament for about 30 years?
Oh, yeah, but they've got the big Scott McKenna at the back as well, haven't they? Yeah. I think it goes a bit deeper than no street football.
Mm. It is interesting, though. I mean, first of all, that Malky was in Brazil. They were invited to give a talk, a pro-license presentation, and there were lots of top managers there. So, I mean, you presume that, you know, what he heard was presumably true.
Well, he's clearly very... Scottish people do get very excited about going abroad, even more than English people. And I could tell from the interview he gave, he was gushing a bit. There was a sense, I can't believe I'm here.
That's a nice place.
Yeah. No, he must have had a tremendous time down there. I'd love to go to Brazil, give a presentation about Scottish football. But, yeah, Scotland seems to have a good
Brazilian
reputation.
TV critics.
I reckon I could 6 months, that's all I'd need to acclimatise.
I mean, I suppose if you had a choice of where to play street football, arguably you would take...
Cumbernauld over Rio de Janeiro. Yeah.
But, I mean, the point he's making, and it's probably true, isn't it? You have this image of literally every young child in Brazil just dribbling around the streets, and actually they do.
Well, the favelas, and also on the beach. I mean, you know, when we were in Copacabana, there were a lot of people playing football. Mostly it was moose.
And actually, I did have this theory when I was playing football on Copacabana myself, was that it's very hard to play a easy side foot pass. And so this is why the Brazilians are so good at dribbling, because you can't pass on the beach, right? It's very hard to pass and move. And it's a real issue that you know, once you get them to grass, they're still trying to dribble around everybody. But not a... I mean, there are some nice beaches on the Isle of Skye, I presume, that may have the same problem.
Yeah,
it's seasonal in a way that it probably isn't on Ipanema. that great Alan Mullery story when England played there in 69 and got absolutely stuffed at the Maracanã, but he said they played a bunch of street kids on the Copacabana the day before and lost about 6 or 7-0. And this was the England team at the time.
Yeah, no, it's eminently possible.
You've been there, Andy, but...
Yeah, you've been there. We've both been there. I mean, it's the only thing against that is, for example, Real Madrid have just, they've got Vinicius and they've signed that other one, also about 18. So they are still producing young players that top European clubs want, whereas I don't notice Real Madrid coming in for, you know, any Scottish players at the moment.
Not at the moment, Andy, but let's watch this space. Yeah. John McGinn, Big McKenna, all the ones who were injured for the Israel game in March. Yeah. No, we haven't produced players since the 60s and 70s in any great numbers.
We're trying to plan our sort of European trip for the European Championships. England are already there, I think you'll find. Yeah. But we'd like to follow Scotland. So what are the chances, A, of them qualifying? Have they got to be, they only got to beat Israel and they qualify?
No, we've got to beat Israel and then Norway or Serbia. I've just booked a flight somewhat recklessly for 190 of your Earth pounds to Oslo for the second game.
That's
because, I think we've got the beating of Israel. I hope we have, despite all the injuries that are falling at exactly the wrong time. But whether we could beat Norway, who haven't lost at home in about 3 years, I think is doubtful.
Do you think that because you always had this playoff as a possibility that affected the qualification campaign, that you always had this kind of get out? Or actually,
there were a number of factors, but I don't think that helped.
Because if you know it's there, you know you can cling to that if things aren't going quite so well.
That's the last thing the Scottish psyche needed was any sort of get out.
I feel for the teams that didn't qualify for the playoffs. I mean, they must have thought, how have we not qualified for these? But everybody has. Even Bulgaria. I mean, they were like
the manufacturing ways that Scotland, surely we have to qualify this time. But you watch us.
How much hope do you have, Ali? Come on.
Out of 10.
Yeah, if 10 is
Argentina 78.
Yeah.
I reckon I'm
about... And nor is just after the Costa Rica game.
All right, I'm about 3 or 4.
A 3 or 4, okay. Yeah. Well, it could be worse, couldn't it?
Yeah. Stranger things have happened.
Can we talk about the masked singer?
Talking of which,
Stranger things.
Yeah, exactly.
I found this program, and I know it's sort of it's got mixed reviews, hasn't it? On social media, amongst other things. And I don't know how you viewed it. I found it sort of strangely mesmerizing. Mm. In one of those TV shows, you're sort of questioning your own existence and everything while you're doing it.
Yeah, it's not a dance show.
There must be something else I could be doing.
You don't feel good about yourself watching it,
but
you
still. I mean, so it's just like eating something that's terribly bad for you. You know that it's bad, but you can't stop it.
The thing I hate about it most is it makes me care. I really want to know.
Yeah.
And it's stupid. It doesn't advance humanity one tiny little bit. Probably puts us back a bit, in fact.
So just to explain
it,
Andy.
You do want to know.
If you haven't, so you understand the concept. For those that don't understand the concept, they bring out famous people in... But arguably the greatest fancy dress that's ever been made. I mean, if you turned up to a fancy dress party in one of these, people would be
isn't
very
it a thing,
impressed.
Well, the way they sing, though.
Well, they're sort of mic'd up. They've worked through the technicals. The rehearsals must have been quite interesting, you know.
I thought they were all miming to Alan Johnson's song, Walk Like an Egyptian. Fair enough. He really has got the costume on there.
Do you think it would help or not? I don't know, because you really want to know. Mm. Because I did wonder, like through the keyhole, they might say, for those... of you at home, you know, who don't want to look away now.
This is annoying me because I'm trying to, normally previews are fine, but ITV just wouldn't give me anything for this and eventually gave me the first episode and it cut off before the reveal.
Wow.
They said, we're not trusting anyone. And then they go and blurt out John Barrowman on Dancing on Ice that he's clearly the unicorn. So I think, well, thanks very much for your trust.
I wonder what you were going to say about him there for a second. A unicorn.
He's a unicorn. Right.
Is he a unicorn?
He's the unicorn.
Right, okay. But
All
right, do we now know? Do you now know who everyone is?
I don't. No, they won't give me Saturday's episode because they're too chicken to do that.
The producer said that when they revealed Alan Johnson that nobody knew who he was. Is that true? Is that right?
I certainly did. I was expecting Ed Balls to pop out of that thing and it was quite a moment. That's the horrible thing about this show. It has the reveal is pretty good.
How much do you think you get paid to be, you know, the giant budgerigar or whatever? Do you have any idea?
I'd love to know. I reckon about for Patsy Palmer.
Yeah, what did Bianca from EastEnders
get? I reckon she probably got 10 grand for that.
£10,000.
Between 5 and 10.
Five and 10. Andy, what would you take? We could dress you as, what would you like to be? You could be an iguana, a giant iguana, and you have to sing Heart of Glass by Blondie in a falsetto. What's your price?
10 quid.
A tenner?
I'd pay 5 grand.
I would love to see
that.
The anticlimax. The anticlimax when they took off the head of the iguana and they said, it's Andy Jacobs.
Oh, yeah. Two of us would love it.
Going back to Malky McKay, though.
Of course.
And it strikes me that...
You don't think he's the unicorn,
he's not the unicorn. It's quite odd that they were invited out to Brazil, where they've got some pretty decent managers, to talk about doing a pro licence. I mean...
Scottish coaching has a very high reputation. They do this thing at Largs, and it's called the Largs Mafia. So, Jose Mourinho, all the big names.
Andy Roxburgh is quite big, isn't he, in FIFA and sort of telling people that it's no point taking a corner anymore. You'll never score from a corner.
What do you do? Just refuse to take it?
No point taking a corner. Well, he really
they're overrated. Corners are overrated, apparently. I think he does other stuff other than just go around saying corners are over.
Maybe he's just watched Christian Eriksen take a lot of corners and not
being the first man. Yes, that does happen.
Well, listen, Ali, thanks so much for coming in.
Oh, my absolute
pleasure. Good to see you. A very happy new year, even though it's getting towards the cutoff date.
Yeah, and good luck. We believe in you.
Listen, I've just spent 190 quid for flying to Norway for a game that may never happen.
But you'll have a nice time anyway. You'll probably have a nicer time if there isn't a football match.
I can't wait. It's the adventure is everything.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Right, it's vignette time.
Good.
While I was in the Jacobs role and, you know, over Christmas.
You felt it was quite an easy role, didn't you?
Oh, you just sit there, do absolutely nothing.
It was totally
tremendous. It was really lovely. You just sit there, you don't have to throw to an ad break. You can just, you know, Paul does all the hard work. I mean, it was just a total joy. But, you know, you really come into your own with this. But I managed to, I was given the opportunity to get the vignettes from the Daily Star, which is such a hotbed of...
Oh, it's tremendous.
You know, but that's for you. I bought it and then I didn't look at it because I didn't want to be surprised. I wanted the stories from the Star to be... The letters page is a thing of total heaven, isn't
it? It's brilliant.
Especially on like a uplifting day like New Year's Day, the amount of anger that is happening on that page was
I know, it's incredible. The front page yesterday as well was... ridiculous story.
What was it?
I can't even remember now. Oh, yeah, it was about Danger Mouse.
Oh, how's Danger Mouse doing?
He was almost whacked by the Italian mafia.
Really?
After worried US telly execs feared the show would offend crime bosses.
Oh, I see.
But this, I mean, that, when was it on? About 30 years ago?
I
mean,
well, I always suspected Penfold to be involved in something murky, and you have
a lot of people think I look my like fears Penfold.
You do look at your half Penfold, half Mahatma Gandhi. It's a great mix, a freedom-fighting tiny friend of a mouse that lives in a postbox.
I'll go with that.
The dream.
It's perfect.
What have you got?
Talking of looking like people,
yeah, absolutely great.
If you look, Carlos Ghosn, is that his name? The
man who ran away in a double bass case.
Yes. He's got a real look of Eric Hall about him. I don't know if he's going to football agency.
Monster double base case, wasn't he?
Look, you have to hand it to him in a certain sense.
Yes, I would have been more impressed if he's got away in a clarinet case, to be honest. You know, there's plenty of room in a double bass case.
Did you did you read about two things really? Wesley Hoot, he says,
yes,
St. Mary's career is over after he launched a scathing attack on boss Ralph Hasenhüttl. So he said a lot of things happened. He said, but he came to me, I was playing, and then he came to me to tell him he was impressed that I deserved a second chance. But then I responded, what do you mean second chance? I've never even had a first chance with you. I've never played under him for a minute. You think, not brilliant, really. That wasn't great. He wasn't sort of opening the door for you, and you just slammed it right in his face. But anyway, he's leaving now.
He is, yes. Now, you must be excited about the new season of Love Island, Andy.
Not particularly.
No, but it could be more exciting this year. Love Island bosses fear a troop of aggressive baboons could try and invade the cast's villa several were spotted near the perimeter. Yeah, they've gone to South Africa. Presumably, you know, if the entire squad, England cricket squad, are taken ill, they'll just bring in some muscle-bound wannabe lovers. The monkeys have been causing mayhem in the area of Cape Town. They are 5-foot primates.
I hope our team are all right.
And they're attracted to shiny objects. And, you know, the islander's sunglasses.
Goffy's watch.
Goffy's watch, it's true. Maybe Goffy could get lost and end up in the Love Island house. Exciting, wouldn't it?
Goffy loves wildlife.
He does, doesn't he? He really does.
He does.
So he'll be on the wall between the Love Island villa and the baboons, saying, save these baboons from Love Island. Could actually make the show slightly better, couldn't it? Or the conversations.
I always think those sort of stories, though, are just, you know, nonsense.
Do you think I've walked into a trap here?
I do feel that. I think that, you know, it just gets people talking. It's a good way of getting, you know, it's the same thing they do in Strictly and Dancing on Ice. They'll say somebody's injured. They won't be able to make it this weekend. And you're sort of like, ooh, and then they do.
I've got an idea to I'm not suggesting that you need to bring romance back into your life, Andy. But
I don't.
There's a leap year this year. So if you wanted to renew your vows, Mrs. Jacobs could propose to you. Poundland has launched man bans, so women can pop the question this leap year. £1 ring will hit the store on Valentine's Day.
Class.
A spokesman said this is the perfect way for women to take control of their destiny. So maybe Mrs. Jacobs could buy you a £1 man band and propose on February the 29th.
Tremendous. Yeah. And what about this bloke, though? The Japanese fashion mogul.
Ah, yes.
Yusaku Maezawa. Maezawa.
Yes.
I don't know if I pronounced that right. 44, who cares? Yeah. He's decided to give away $9 million to his Twitter followers in what he describes as a social experiment in happiness. And you think, ooh, that sounds good, doesn't it? And then I went on and checked how many followers he's got. 6.8 million. So it works out as $1.32 each.
Was he doing a lottery, or is he doing it pro rata, or how long you've followed him for?
That's quite expensive for him to send $1.32 to every one of those.
What, with postage?
It's a lot of stamps.
It is, isn't it?
It's a lot of bank transfers. I don't see how he's going to do this, really.
I've got some gadgets from the Daily Mirror for to make your 2020 more fun, Andy.
Okay.
Would you like Borley, the robot companion?
Oh, we talked about Borley yesterday.
Did you?
Yes, we said he's got a high-pitched voice. He tells you what to do, but no.
Well, you can't have Borley. Have you got did you talk about the aerial selfie drone?
No.
Social media obsessed as you are, you could be left smiling by US company Air Selfie has developed a 75-pound drone that recognises a person's face, follows them everywhere they go, taking a picture at the wave of a hand. So every photo of you would be
Cardiff v Swansea on Sunday.
Every photo would be waving. But if you'd like a selfie drone to follow you and Borley around on your new life together.
That sound very good,
put that on
really?
Dave, that would be nice. One more, the loo roll delivery system. Have you got this one? A Bluetooth-enabled toilet paper delivery robot that we can control by an app on your smartphone. It has been designed to deliver toilet paper to those in need via Bluetooth commands. The company has not yet invented a way for the loo roll to be replaced on the holder for you. So if anyone has is technically minded, that is a niche.
What does it do? What you just...
So you're on the toilet, okay. You look to the right, and you go, oh, no, there's no Andrex. So then you... Presumably, you're scrolling on your phone like everyone does on the toilet now. You just open the open the Bluetooth setting and you say, can I have some toilet roll, please? And a robot will arrive with a toilet roll on its head. There it is.
Is it Borley?
If Borley can do this, then
it is toilet paper.
It's a short life for the Bluetooth-enabled toilet paper delivery robot.
People in Sheffield spend at least... spend the least on dinner dates. £29 on dinner and drinks for two. While those in Cardiff splash out the most at £79, a nationwide poll by a company that I'm not going to name found out that sounds wrong though, doesn't it? I mean, we were in Cardiff recently and we were in a Green King pub.
Yes.
And I noticed...
Of course you were. Company men you are. It's tremendous.
It was a good pub, a good fun. But the Sunday lunch was
at
least...
pub sport, isn't it?
Well, it is. The Sunday lunch, the roast beef in Yorkshire, was... I'd say at least £4 or £5 cheaper sort of around our way or around in London. So I can't see how dining out in Cardiff is more expensive than dining out in London. But who knows?
Do you want to know what bacon is saltier than?
So it's 8 packets of crisps or something?
Seawater. There you go. So enjoy your bacon sandwich this afternoon. Seawater. Bacon on sale in our supermarkets is as salty or saltier than the ocean.
It's good, isn't it?
With healthy option brands, often the worst.
But it is, talking of healthy eating, it's veganuary, isn't it?
It is veganuary, yes.
I don't know if you're... I know you're doing the other one.
I'm going dry.
I'm going dry.
I was... Do you know, the furthest I've got through dry January is a week and a half, and then a friend of mine rang me and said, I'm going out for dinner with Hugh Grant. Do you want to come?
So what a fabulous bit of name dropping.
I know, but normally it's Trevor Nelson, but I would drop that in. So I was like, of course.
Did you borrow Hugh Grant's microwave?
I borrowed his Breville, actually.
excuse me.
It sort of stutters. It's terribly British. As you bring down the ham toasty. But anyway, he ordered some quite nice wine. And so I was like, listen, I'm doing dry January, but we haven't got to the stage yet whether I know I'm going to, are we splitting the bill or not? And I can't after dinner say I didn't have any wine. So I filled my boots and that was it.
Did you split the bill between the three?
No. He was, no.
You took the bill?
You took the bill, yes. Top man he is.
Tremendous.
Yeah.
That's quite unusual, actually.
Yes.
No, it is. I mean, normally, you know, often if you go out with somebody very wealthy...
Yeah, it's true.
You still split the
generous
bill.
To a fault. Kristen says, how do you let the toilet roll robot into the bathroom? Surely not. Sat on the toilet.
It's true. You're going to have to get up and let him in, aren't you? It's quite tricky.
And very good point.
Why not just keep extra toilet paper in your bathroom? Would be a better
idea.
Don't
be so practical when you can have a toilet roll.
Adrian Spooner wrote to The Sun with this one, though.
Oh, okay.
He said, how can rich people allow their businesses to fail, leaving hundreds of people out of pocket?
Good point.
Jamie Oliver is reportedly worth over $100 million, yet he escapes the financial consequences of his restaurant chain collapsing. Mm-hmm. Well, sort of, I can see his point to an extent, but, you know, it's not really down to him, is it, to actually personally fund it? That's why people have limited companies.
Well, as the Japanese man is doing, I'm going to give all my money to my followers. I think
how
you
many
should...
have you got?
How many followers have I got? Yeah. I've got more followers than I've got pounds. So they'll get 20p each. Do you want to know? 291,900.
Have you? That's pretty impressive, actually.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it?
So what's the minimum you could give them for a penny?
Want to do that. Why not? I want to do that. A penny each to my followers. What's that? How much is that? Is that 2,900 quid or is it 290 quid if I gave them a penny each?
Anybody can look at them in there.
Do you want
That's why
penny?
They're in the world of sport.
Exactly.
Just
are there any mathematicians here? Who's a mathematician? Wait, Brian Cox? He's a scientist.
Yeah, but he doesn't
Get
work
Brian
for,
Cox
he,
on.
He
can he do long division?
Sport.
Get him to do long division. I'll give everyone I've ever met a penny. All right. That was a bit sad that, you know, I've lost money doing this show.
I can work
now.
It out if you...
No, I don't really. I mean, we're late anyway.
All right, I'll work it out in the break.
Okay, work it out in a break. We'll work out how many I'm giving my Twitter followers.
291,900.
Divided.
900.
Yeah.
Divided by 0.1.
Is it? That's 10p. I don't want to give them 10p.
Oh, 0.01.
Not that generous, yeah.
0.01.
I wouldn't divide it. Might be more.
I still got 29,190.
Well, this has been a devastating blow. I tell you what, Alan needs to really get wasted for the next few weeks so I can afford this. I've lost £29,000 by doing this show, and the fee does not make up for it.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at UH1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now, imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Good afternoon. You are listening to Hawksby and Jacobs on TalkSport. Max Rushton in for Paul today. Brought to you with Green King. For atmosphere you can't get at home, head to your local Green King pub to watch all the FA Cup action this January, home of pub sports. Adrian Durham and Darren Bent with you on Drive from 4. Right now, very warm welcome to the studio, Max Whitlock, two-time Olympic gold medal winning gymnast. Max, nice to see you.
Yeah, you too.
Nice to see you. Just before we get to the book, it's a lovely book. We were just talking there on the story of Joss Butler, and I asked you if they have sledging in gymnastics, and you said no. I'm quite surprised.
I'm really happy that they don't, to be honest. I think it would be... I feel like we're quite lucky in gymnastics. It's a respectful sport.
So Nadia Comaneci didn't have a right go at Olga Korbut. Yeah, you know,
nah, not a chance. Honestly, you won't find that in our sport, which is good.
Doing a difficult move.
You want to win, but you want everyone to do well, or you want them to, you know, fall off the bar? I mean, what's your mindset?
No, honestly, I think when you're a gymnast, you realise how much training goes into it. I've done gymnastics for nearly 20 years. And when an Olympic comes around every 4 years and you have that 1 minute to show what you've been working on, of course I want to do my best, but I want everyone to do their best as well. And I've always said I want people, I obviously want to put myself in a position where I can regain titles. Mm-hmm. I don't want to do that on a small field. I've always said I always want the best competition there every time I go, because that pushes me more. I want everyone to do the best.
Must be something to do with the name Max. Yeah, two lovely people.
I was going to say, you're nicer than Andy. That's for sure. If you were about to do the parallel bars, you'd be waiting. You'd have that Russian just absolutely piling on his face.
It's a big year for you, Max, of course, as well as the book. We'll chat about. Of course, it's the Olympics, and presumably everything's focused on that.
100%. Yeah, I can't believe that we're actually in a 2020 year already. It's just absolutely flown by since Rio 2016, and I think we're in a good place. I mean, as a team, we're looking strong off the back of 2019 World Championships, where we qualified a four-man team. We can go in there with a lot of confidence.
Do you sometimes feel envious of, say, footballers who get a chance? You know, if you don't play well 1 week, you can do well the next week. Okay, you have finals and that you have to turn up for. But like you said, for that one minute, like the whole 4 years, and you might wake up with a bit of a cold or a slightly sore ankle.
You've got other events, though, haven't you? You're not just the floor. You've got all the individual golds as well as the sort of overall and the teams.
So yeah, but the hardest one is that the qualification, the first day of competition, if you muck that day up, that's it. You don't make through to the rest of the
really?
Round.
Mm.
So it does all come down to one day. And 100%, yeah, I think if we had a couple of attempts, it would be quite nice and cushy. But I think, yeah, one shot, it adds to the intensity. It adds to the, you know, the fact that you've got to try and deliver every time, and it adds to the pressure.
How are you not completely bricking it on that day?
I am nervous. I am really nervous. I get nervous every single competition. Every single one, whether it's a small one or, you know, with 10 people watching or the Olympic Games, World Champions, it doesn't matter what it is. I get nervous every time. But I try and put myself in uncomfortable positions in training to prepare myself as well as I possibly can for it.
And do you think people, sorry, Andy, I said, do you think people appreciate quite how much? I saw a video of some rowers all making themselves sick on rowing machines, yeah, you know, in the middle of winter in some dark gym. And that we don't, you know, as sports fans, you know, who don't watch gymnastics all the time and then suddenly switch on for the Olympics going, well, Whitlock's won 2 golds, he better win again.
Yeah.
Do you think we just fail to appreciate quite how much work goes into it?
God, how did he do that? How did he fall off these rubbish? You don't know anything about it. You can do it if you live to be 1,000.
That's the one, yeah. 100%. I think it's really hard to get that across because a lot of the work obviously is done behind closed doors, and you're training every single day of the week nearly. You know, it is like that in terms of training as well. I've been doing a lot of work on the bike to increase my fitness, and you know, it took me 10 minutes to recover like the last one, and I, you know, walked off. I literally collapsed on the floor because you're pushing yourself to the limits, and the reason why you do that is because you want to be the best for that day. And that's where it goes back to saying, in respect of everyone else, you want them to be the best because you know how much work goes into it. But I don't think people do realise it's hard to put it into perspective on how tough the build-up is.
Is it hard to motivate yourself again, having won 2 gold medals, that is the pinnacle, and you're still young, of course, but, I mean, did you find it at the start of the cycle a little bit difficult? And obviously not now.
To be honest, I feel like I'm quite lucky in that sense because I literally try and grab motivation from everywhere I can, every place I can. And if you look at 2018, for example, it was seen as a year that I failed. I got silver in European, silver in Worlds. So it was seen as a failure because I didn't come home with a gold. And that was tough. It was really tough. But I think if you spin it, I used it as huge motivation to try and prove myself that I wasn't finished, that's not max, like past it or anything like that. I wanted to come back in 2019 and really prove myself. And if you try and think about it like that, there was so much more for me to do, and that's why I continued after Rio, for example. There's actually gymnasts that have actually said to me that if they were me after Rio, after winning those 2 golds, they would have finished.
Yeah, they're probably your rivals. I'm sure you should have retired.
You've done so well. Right, tell us about the book, Whitlock workouts. Why did you decide to do this?
One of the biggest reasons is because I feel very proud, along with the other boys and the girls on the team, and that, like, we've inspired a lot of young kids to take up sport, specifically gymnastics, but getting active. And I've always wanted to show how good gymnastics is. Every time I step foot in the gym, I do a full body workout. I use muscles that aren't traditionally used in traditional workouts. And I thought, you know, I can maybe produce something here and show how good gymnastics can be for anybody. Adults of all ages, all abilities. And that's why I created something that they can do from home, like with a sofa workout, a cushion crusher, and the full body workouts with no equipment at all. And I think I wanted to do that, make them really quick, easy, not scary, just easy to pick up with recipes that you can improve your body, get an ounce of what a gymnast can do.
And you don't need a pommel horse or a parallel bars in your living room?
No, not at all. It's just literally using your traditional stuff. So all you need is a sofa and some cushions, and you're good to go.
Who's got a pommel horse at home?
Do you not have one?
No,
come on, Annie. And look, it is really, like, there's so much, you know, it's a sort of very flooded market, I guess. There's so much talks about health and fitness in January specifically. And there are lots of people who find it difficult, right? There will be lots of people listening who have for some reason, or for whatever reason, have not done any exercise for years and years and years, and perhaps need to a bit. And you know, diet culture is a really sort of fascinating part of the world where, you know, you don't have to not eat everything. Moderation is important. But how is it as cliche as saying the hardest step is the first one?
It really is for a lot of people. And I think it's that motivation thing. And I think that's what I wanted to try and get around with this book. I didn't want it to be a fad that was a 1 month thing and maximum 3 months thing. And the way I've tried to get around that is what I do. My whole career is based on try not to be too intense. I've always tried to be as chilled as possible. I treat myself. I'm relaxed with what I'm eating, with what I'm doing with training. I'm not literally it's gym. I've never wanted it to be like that, and I think that helps me. So I talk about in the book an 80-20 rule, and that's basically just trying to say 80% of time, try and be good, 20% of time, treat yourself. And the reason for that is because then that makes it not daunting to start, and it also makes it easy to sustain, so it isn't a fad.
I think Alan Brazil has the 0-100, yeah, doesn't he?
Slightly different ratio.
And your dad was an ice cream man. Is that right?
Yeah, he was.
So, I mean, did you get, in your childhood, were you, you know, doing gymnastics and then eating a 99 flake every day?
Do you know, I look back on it, I wish I ate more at that time, but when you've got an ice cream van on your doorstep, somehow you just...
The magic's not there, right?
You just don't all the time.
Has it put you off ice cream for the rest of your life?
No, don't get me wrong, I love ice cream.
You love ice cream, yeah. Okay.
How did you find that out?
I don't know, I just read it in
incredible research. There's very nothing professional.
I hate to say this, Max. There's nothing. Have you seen that Alan Partridge where the guy with posters? I've got posters of your face all over my walls. Nothing I don't know about you. Listen, thanks so much for coming in.
No, I appreciate
the book
that.
Is
Thank
the Whitlock Workout.
And we didn't really talk about the recipes at the back. So presumably these are yours that you.
So it goes back to that 80-20. Like I don't eat foods that are like ridiculously healthy that you can't pronounce, that you don't know how to prepare or cook. You have to research them. It's normal foods, but just the way of doing them is healthier. So I've got like healthy burgers, healthy fish and chips. I've got London 2012 dish, Rio dish, Tokyo dish. I've got all some like really nice stuff in there, that generally stuff that I would eat on a daily basis.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.